I won't shake hands. You know, the Australian government are telling us not to shake hands because of this coronavirus. We are gripped in fear. And I mean gripped in fear. And I was saying to someone, we in Christ, because we talk faith, we sing songs, we prophesy, and we're in an environment of faith. Sometimes we don't think it's good enough, but it is. But really, when it comes to the man in the street who knows not Christ, you would be, and even though they cosmetically look as though they got it together, you would be amazed with the trauma, the shock, the anxiety that's rampant in nations and cities and towns. And we in Australia, we've been hit. And we've been hit with a drought that's ravaged the country for such a long time economically. And then we were hit with fires, several thousand houses lost, and it's going to cost billions of dollars just in the fires. And now right on top of that, we've got this coronavirus. And, you know, where you get, someone sent me news yesterday where they're talking about the army, preparing the army and the medics. I mean, what is this doing in the minds of people? And, you know, there's fear, 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 fear. And I think we should talk about faith. Now, we've got to be realistic. Come on now. We can't put our heads in the sand. Anyone like to say amen to that? And, you know, I know what it is to build. I think I consider myself a common sense person. And there are certain things we need to do. But I want to say this. Over in Malaysia, I was there in the SARS outbreak, and when I was staying in the hotel, and this is worse than that apparently, come from bats, but in the Marriott Hotel, and it was hardly anyone there. And anyway, they closed off floors, had a little cafe open. I remember they had tissues for the buttons, you know, the lifts and all that sort of stuff. And those of you that have been to Singapore, you could shoot down Orchard Road that's really, you know, they get millions and millions of tourists a year and you wouldn't hit anyone. I was also in up at a place called Manado, and you may remember the Bali bombing. And I was in Indonesia, in India, speaking at a conference. And I had about 4 hours to make up my mind, the turnaround in Changi Airport, whether I'd go up to Indonesia. And our Prime Minister was saying, don't go. And at that moment, I would lose any cover of insurance. And we had a member of parliament in our church. He said, where's Pastor Kinder? He's going to Indonesia. Don't you let him go. Da, 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 da. All that sort of stuff. I cut a long story short, I went. And I'm not into committing suicide. But I still remember it. There were 29 people on the big Airbus. And they treated me like a king. You see, dear friends, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And I think if ever there's a day, and we don't know, when all said and done, Matthew 24 is written by Jesus. And there's going to be, this is only but the beginning, and we don't know if this is going to be, we don't know where it's going to go. But I want to say this, dear friends, that Jesus, who's the author of all knowledge, who is the greatest prophet of all times, said, I'm going to build my church, that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Did you know this? That I think we're crying out for souls, and it's absolutely marvelous to see what happened here today. You broke every law in the book. You sang for an hour and five. That the growth guys tell you that's hopeless. and you know, and you gave an altar call before you preached. You just don't do those things. But look at the result. I took some photos. I hope you know. But what I'm leading up to say is this, that I think as she gets dark out there, it's going to be a lot lighter in the church. You see, dear friends, it's like when you go to, I don't know about you, when I go to these shopping malls and you like Countdown or Woolworths and so on, and I want a block of cheese or something, I almost get dizzy because we get so many, any mini minor, you know, what one will I have? And, you know, at the world with so many things eroding our attention. But when things really begin to shake and men's heart shall fail them for fear, the Bible says for things coming upon the face, you know where they're going to seek? They're going to seek you and I. Did you know that in 9-1-1 in America, the churches were packed? And I want to say this, we labored for many years, some of us, but I believe that God said, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. We may not have all the goodies that we once had. We may have to trim down economically. We don't know the impact of the coronavirus. You know, in 2 weeks in the Gold Coast, 2 weeks, only 2 weeks, and it's been happening a lot longer than that, we lost $500 million of our tourist intake. Think of it. And the government are talking about billions and billions and billions. Now, that's gonna impact jobs. And let's not talk, you know, they say down Queenstown, it's like a ghost town already. Chinese and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So it's going to impact your nation. The only people that are going to do good are these country areas that are full of lush growth and food, and you could kill animals. Anyway, let's not talk about that. But I think that's exciting today. You know, I think your pastor's not a bad guy. His wife's better. He's got a lovely family. But I want to say this, and I probably said this before. It almost seems like I come back every year. And the reason I come back is because no one else wants me. Now, that's a lie. I was in an Assembly of God church last weekend, and they want me back. Amazing. You know, my wife says in fun, she says, Kinder goes to the same church twice, the second time to apologize. So I've been here more than once. But one of the things I like about your pastor's wife, and I've said this before, there's a hunger. I've known Wayne for years down in the deep south. I think I've left when he took over there. But he's never lost that hunger, just fasted 21 days. Wow. And I want to say this, and there are times when you won't get it as quick as you want to. But I want to prophesy with my eyes open, you will yet touch the hem of his garment. You will yet break through. And I want to say that not only for you, but for others, that you will break through and you will become a recipient of a breakthrough, momentous ministry, but you're going to break through on behalf of others. Others are going to enjoy. It's that hunger. And you know, sometimes you get criticized. Sometimes they want to pour water on your enthusiasm. I don't know the natural. I'm picking up. You know, and it's time. You're no longer spring chicken. It's time to calm down. You've got some blooming grandkids. It's time to start looking, you know, rest a little bit. Listen, that hunger, that hunger, that hunger, that hunger, that hunger. And I may have said this before, I don't know, but Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. And you know what's happening in the church today? So many blimmin' people, not you, the church down the road, have lost their hunger. And you give me a group of people that are hungry and we'll take our town for God. Can anyone say amen? You know, you stood for an hour. I sat, that's okay, because I'm wise. But the point is you're not preaching. But you're hungry. Anyone like to say amen? I said last time when I was here, and you may remember in the leadership, I said, take your hand. pat your back for the beautiful building. I've already taken a photo of that building over there and the building outside here and the cafe. It's exciting. You're in a little community. You don't have millions of people visit your community, but you've got something. And I love it. Whatever you've done well. The only one thing you haven't done well. You want to listen to it? You don't look after your guest speaker. He sits out there and he doesn't get anyone bring him coffee or tea. Boy, I travel around the world. And the last place, you know, that happened was in Norwich Union Norwich in the UK. And I had to ask, I traveled about 3 hours, I asked them, that's the only time, and this is the second place in the world that I travel, so get it right, amen. You don't have to do it, Wayne. I can joke with those who we love. Great atmosphere, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow night on the leadership. And you go through phases. I started in Invercargill. We had a move of God and the big cornerstone building we built and all that sort of stuff. And we were in the charismatic move down there in 750 decisions in two and a half years. It was a move of God. And I've been in the Gold Coast now, past for 30 years, been there and so on. And, you know, today it's mega. We started with 41 kids. And the only reason I'm saying this, not to say we're big and you're small, but I want to illustrate leadership, leadership, leadership. And what I want to speak about is relevant to you. Today, we're in the schools alone, we employ over 500 full-time staff. We have three major campuses, you know, 35 acres, 50 acres, 47, and we've got three that we've got the base. And we've just bought 1,000 seats for that. And it's going like gangbusters. Then we've got another beautiful brand new church, 400-seater. And another one at 400-seater. And we're opening at schools and churches. And they marry the thing together. And millions of dinners. And the government's good over there. Not like this mean government. They help the schools. And the school builds a church. And we've got four now. It's exciting what's happening. We're going bang gangbusters. And I want to say we'll have a lot more than that. Since I left, everything happens. No, it's all good. And I'm excited. There's no one more excited to see what you've spent years and years in and seeing it go on for God. Anyone like to say amen to that? Now, am I okay? I feel funny. I hear funny. Is that okay? I might just use this so I can move here. I should have had it just a little bit then. Is that okay? Shall I use this one? Can I use that one? I'll probably move around, but I just feel like at the moment. Would you do something? Hello? That's better. Turn to the person beside you and say, hey, I like the colour of your eyes. Can you do that? You okay, Wayne? Amen. Is that okay? He did tell me, and I sort of felt like I didn't want that thing around my ears. But so you can hear me, can't you? Yeah. All right. I want to speak today on something that's relevant. And, you know, being part of the King's organization, starting with 41 kids, and then starting a church, and then churches and training, and a lot of things over the years. And what I'm going to say today is so relevant to building a church, a family, a community, and building a DNA, and building a culture. And you know, how many know that our nations are tearing each other apart at the throat? How many know that there's not much peace? The only places that have peace are country areas like this. You love everybody.
But the point, the sheep all seem to, you know, graze and everything seems to be so peaceful. Coming here this morning from Darfield, I thought, oh, this is lovely. When I was here years ago, I was a blimmin' zealot, never even had time to visit the country is because I was always on a plane doing something. But as you get a little older, you start to appreciate it. It's such a lovely country. And in many ways, it's spearheaded. But I want to talk about prepare for breakthrough. Now, breakthrough to different people means different things. If you're sick in your body and you've had that sickness for a period of time, to get healed is a breakthrough. Can anyone say amen? If you are carrying excess weight and then somehow you lose that weight by discipline or whatever, I have a niece that's lost 43 kgs. That's a breakthrough. She's looking beautiful. And so that's a breakthrough. To have no jobs or, you know, to be sort of tossed to and fro with your income and then suddenly something happens and you seem to get a permanent job. That's a breakthrough. But breakthrough in a church means a lot of things. It means growth. It means people mature. It means overcoming attitude. So breakthrough entails a lot of things. And I want to say this, you're fasting, you're praying, and I want to say that he's the God of the breakthrough. Can anyone say amen? But as you go through the scripture, you'll find that most things are conditional. You see, you take the scripture in John's gospel, I'm the vine, you the branches. 7 times as you read that portion, he said, if you buy. And you'll find that we quote glibly the scriptures, but we don't quote the clause, the conditions. There are conditions for breakthrough, and I want to deal with them there today. I want to have a look now at Luke's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 14, as our sister brings the next one up. Thank you. There, on the PowerPoint. The next one. Can you move the next one? Has it got the house? Has it got the house one? Take the house. You're doing well. Now, just leave that first. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 14, now he, speaking of Jesus, was casting out a demon that was dumb. And when the demon had gone out, the dumb man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. While others, to test him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, and said to them, that's a word of knowledge, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and divided household falls. As if Satan also divided against itself, how will his kingdom stand if Satan's kingdom is divided against itself? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub. By whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall say, they shall be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then you know the kingdom of God has come to you. Now, here's my point, and going back onto that house, a house that is divided against itself, it falls. And I believe, as I want to talk about creating, breaking through, or creating a DNA, a unity DNA. Why are some churches seem to flourish and others struggle for years? And it's not only the talent of the pastor, it's the DNA. They've got the right DNA. I speak in a lot of churches, trust me. And some churches are tough. Some churches, you take the same message and the church beforehand, well, it goes, and the next week, the same message, same person, and it's like pulling wisdom teeth out. Because in the spirit, there's a lack of unity. And I want to say this, that this is an eternal principle to break through. You see, if you're at sorts with your brother, how many? A lot of the healing is conditional. If you don't forgive, the Father's not going to forgive you. And you've got to go back. And I want to say this, that unity is very, very much the part and the personal purpose of the mind of Almighty God. Unity. There's so much disunity in the nations of the world. Nations rising up against nations. Kingdom against kingdom. Who can you trust? You've got to lock your cars. You've got to lock, you name everything. You can't trust anyone. I know families who can't even, they go on a holiday, can't even trust their teenage kids anymore. Christians. It's horrible. Now, I want you to turn with me quickly to the next one, and Psalm 133:1-3. And did you know this? There's a guy by the name of Spurgeon, and he said this is the shortest to read. It's only 3 Bible verses, but it's the longest to learn. And it's up on the PowerPoint there. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down under upon the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing for life evermore. I'm writing a book called Kinder Sevens. And did you know, I was studying this just yesterday or the day before yesterday, and I found there's 7 points in these few verses. And I'm going to give them, but here's the point. The 6 points are pleasant. They're nice. They're nice terms. But then there's a strong point, strong language, the word command. Now, if I command you to do something, it's not mushy. And I want you to very quickly, and you know, the Bible talks about unity. He said, how good. When a thing is good, it's nice. And then pleasant. It's the opposite to being unpleasant. Pleasant. Brothers dwelling, living, doing life together. You know, we come to church, we put on our smile and we shake hands and have coffee or tea or what, buns or scones. I don't care. I don't know what we have afterwards. But, you know, to live together with a person, it's a different story. I've lived with my wife since Methuselah was a kid. And, you know, there are days she don't like me and days I don't like her. That's a fact of life. We are not romantically wired 365 days of the year. When I go away on a trip, I'm away for a month this time, she says, hallelujah. No, she doesn't. I ring her mostly every day. But she likes a space, and I got news for you. I like my space. But to dwell together, she does things that irritate me. I do things that irritate her, no doubt. But here's the point. Living together, that's where the unity, you know, rubbing together. You know, so many, and you know, I'm against this nation, this philosophy, this concept. If you don't like your wife, jump into the bed with someone else. Come on, there's got to be a group of people that can turn the tide and say, we're in this, come hell or high water, through thick and thin, and we're going to stick and stay. Do you know, as a pastor for 30 years in the Gold Coast, some people didn't like me. But you know why? Because their pastor had been divorced and married, remarried 3 times. And they'd done it. They felt safe. And to go to a guy who has got the same wife, you know, it threatens them. Now, folk, I'm not against divorce. But I think we've got to turn the tide a bit. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And I better not get onto that too much. But you see, dwelling together in unity, listen, is something precious. The precious oil. Did you know it's absolutely forbidden to compound the anointing oil? Whoever doubts this, listen to this, was cut off from Israel forever. To put where I had a South African man who went to jail for 3 years. He's worth $50 million. I visited many times. And his kid stayed on the Gold Coast. He was handcuffed and sent from jail to, and he tried, came back and got me to represent him in court to get back into this Australia, and they wouldn't let him. You see, whoever, he was cut off from his land that was Australia forever. Couldn't get back. And the point is this, how pleasant, you know, this unity, it's like precious oil. It's something very precious, very special. And then it talks about it's like the dew of Hermon. And this is romantic, but it's something wonderful. It speaks of the presence and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's what this unity is about. And it's flowing, listen, it's spiritual, it's supernatural, from the mountains of Zion. And you know, Zion speaks of the house of God, the presence of God, the anointing, bringing back God. But here's the point. If you can get all these things flowing together, God commands. And it seems like a contradiction. It's like goodness and all these positive things. He commands a blessing. And you know, I believe, dear friends, the reason some churches, some people struggle throughout all their life is because they violate these components. They're suspicious, they gossip, they rip a person's personality down. I was in a big church in Thailand, and a mega church. We had 3 weekends. It was so big in a university. They went away, and they had 7,000, 6,000, and 5,000. I did the 5,000 weekend. This is like a retreat. And anyway, that pastor sued a woman for defamation. Listen to this. She got 6 months prison. Because she defamed, hurt his ministry. Good on him. And I stuck with him, and he sent me a text. He said, thanks for sticking with me. See, I'm not aggressive, but I want to say this, dear friends. So much disunity. What's going to make this church greater is unity. Not a million opinions, but as I unify with Christ. Can anyone say amen? And there God commands. I believe that some people are in the flow of God, the command of God for blessing because the component is right. Can I say this? The next one, there is tremendous power that can be released from God through unity of mind amongst believers. And I'm going to repetitively say that. There is power in unity. It's not the mushy stuff. It's not to say, you know, being gentle, kind, meek and mild stuff. Hey, unity has passion. Unity has strength. We live around board tables at King's. And these guys are businessmen. And boy, they're stubborn. And I was stubborn. And you'd hear the voices raised. And sometimes I'd even bang the board table. And my secretaries would hear, my secretary would hear us, and it seemed like we're screaming bloody murder. We weren't. And then after the meeting, you know, we'd all come out and we're laughing. And she'd go, couldn't get a handle of this. See, passion doesn't mean that you're a pushover. But what it does mean is, for the greater cause, you unify, you believe. There is tremendous power in unity. What is cancer? Cancer is a lawless cell. Cancer is a cell that says, I want to do my own thing. Now, we know Paul the Apostle said, In Corinthians, he said the anatomy of the human body, he said the arm, the leg, and what would happen if my one of my legs didn't want to move, or my arm went back that way, or you know the whole thing is uncoordinated. I'm in trouble. You see, and I believe I used to say to my guys, Wayne, we can fight like hell. Now, I'm not a swearer, but you're in a country area. Like hell in the board table, but once around the board, once we go out of this place, we are unified. One vision, one soul, one mind. What's going to make this nation a greater nation? What's going to make Australia, America, men and women say, it's not what they can do for me, but what I can do for them? And I sometimes get annoyed. Christians, we have to do it better than the guy and the girl who doesn't know Jesus. Can anyone say amen? You see, we're filled with the Holy Ghost, are not? And so there's tremendous power that can be released from God through the unity of mind. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2, 21 verse 4, it says, when Jehoram had ascended the throne of his father and was established, listen to this, he slew his brothers with the sword and also some of the princes of Israel. In other words, he eradicated any opposition. Well, we can't do that. We'll go to jail. I often say in fun, in the church or in the world, it's dog eat dog. In the church, it's sheep eat sheep. But this should never be. You see, Jehoram's strength. And can I say this, dear friends? Next one, please. Don't lose your vision for unity. Don't lose your vision. Oh, the reason this church is not in triple services, because, and everybody's got an opinion. Unity. This church is not perfect. It doesn't give their guest speaker coffee before a meeting. You stand for an hour and five, and then the pastor gets up and gives a salvation message and gets people saved. It's not perfect. It's good. You see, don't lose your vision for unity. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I want to say one of the greatest challenges in our organization, my churches, is develop a unity culture. One mind, one soul, one spirit. And I want to say this, dear friends. People leave churches. They don't do it here. And they go from church to church to church. And I know some of my mates, you know, good people. And I say, we are our fourth church. It's always the pastor. It's never me. But I think sometimes, dear friends, we need to look at ourselves in the mirror and see our two eyes and say, Father, I need help. 50% of the problems, the psychologists and the marriage therapists tell us, when we take from the first marriage into the second marriage. And, you know, sometimes they're getting married three times and four times. And it's many times it's our heart that's wrong. And we need an encounter with God. Can anyone say amen? All right. You're going to divorce your mate? Scratch itchy feet. Amen. I've had so many women over the years come to me and cry like a baby. True. And they said, if only I listened to you. They listen to their mates, never listen to me. Living single when you've got kids, it's not a walk in the park, trust me. And I want to say this, dear friends, that you know some people have to do things. But, don't lose your vision for unity. See, there's a fundamental need for a vision. Solomon says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And I believe that vision is necessary. You see, every pastor needs to be a vision caster. Can anyone say amen? One of the first things King David did after he was anointed, not once, not twice, but three times, he went after the big one to bring the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. That's it. You don't tell me that, you know, when he was a psalmist, you know, watching as a boy, you know, singing psalms, watching the sheep out there, he had a dream on the inside. You know, it's never one person, but kings and everything that happened, it didn't happen because it came out of the sky. It happened because somehow God gave me a vision, a dream, and I was able to attract people and together. You know, they're more bullish now today. One thing I'll say about my guys, they're goers. They're goers. We bought land during the GFC, the global financial crisis. Everything in the natural said, don't do it. We bought it. And we went through. You see, dear friends, we're either going to operate by fear or we're going to operate by faith. I'm not talking about stupidity. Amen. I'm talking about common sense. We operate by another set of rules, another set. And that's why I believe the churches today need to pump faith, not the rah, 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 you know, plastic, fantastic faith that I don't like. People get hit. But we have faith in the time of our valley. Can anyone say? Do you know, I used to believe that, you know, life was like mountains and valleys. Mountains, I don't believe that anymore. Life is like two railway tracks. In any given time in your life and my life, we got positive things and we've got negative things running concurrently. It's true. See, life's not a walk in the park. To bring up kids today who are being programmed by TV and their mates, it's a tough gig, trust me. Many a father and a mother, their heart is broken, Christian, because their kids are away from the Lord. But I want to say this, hang in, hang in, hang in, because you will break through. There's still a God in heaven. Anyone like to say amen? All right. So I want to say this, dear friends, that you see, vision unites, vision provides, vision dominates, vision inspires, vision brings in people. You know, once you've got a vision, it's amazing how people come in and they join your visions. I am with a lot of pastors and I can tell you whether they're going to make it or break it. They're tired, emotionally spent. They got no vision, no dream. You know, I was telling someone about you starting up in Rolleston. That's exciting stuff. That's exciting stuff. You see, your vision's bigger than here. And the day you lose that, well, maybe it's time for a rocking chair. But the point is this, that's exciting stuff. Breaking through, going, anyone like to say amen? The path of the justice is a shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. Did you know this? And you don't believe this, I'm 77 years of age. They made a mistake. And I've had so many guys say, Kinder, it's time for golf. Give it to the birds. Amen. I can out-preach a lot of people, trust me. And on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm only 4 at, mate, because I got a little family here today. But you give me a crowd, and I want to say I do 5 services a day, thousands, 2,000 at least in every service. And the 5th service, my translator goes, and I get another wind. Oh, brise ne brose ne brandai. I was preaching on the axe head, and there were 2,000 plus, and it was the last, a 5th night over in Monado, and they had the foyer, no air conditioning. The other one was lost. There was an overflow. I was up on a very high stage, and the essence of what I was saying, these servants, these Bible students said to Elisha, we want to build, we want to grow, we want more. That was my essence. And I preached, and then I challenged with great inspiration. I stayed over 2,000 out there, and I said, how many want more? How many want more? And he's going, bah, 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 bah. How many want more? Bah, bah, bah. How many want more? Raise your hands. Every hand went up on the balcony down. And I looked out, and here these guys have been sweating for the last hour 45. No air conditioning. And I kid you not, they stood. And you could see every hand was raised up. Oh, Brise Brande, don't you let the devil tell you that you're losing the fire. I tell you, my dear friends, God wants to use us to the glory of God. Some of you sisters, your hands are anointed. You're part of the great fabric, the chain. You know, go bake a cake. It's the act of mercy. Mercy. It's the little things become big things. Come on now. It's a little cup of coffee. It's a little. You're going to be a great guy to be with. You, sir. You. God's going to bless you. The favor of God, the favor of the anointing is on your life. And whatever you put your hands to shall be blessed. But I see a marrying between the spiritual and the natural. And I believe you're going to strengthen, you're going to encourage, and you are going to bring great refreshing to those that have been in the fray. And just being you, you're going to bless them, encourage them. Amen. The favor, the anointing of God's upon your life. Is that okay? Do you believe it? Go for it. The world's your oyster. Don't listen to your partner. No, I'm only joking. I love Wayne. He takes a risk to have me back, which is a miracle. All right, we better move. Let's have a look now. One's vision can lead, and I'm going to close very soon. One's man's vision can lead to great achievements and whatever realm it may be exercised. But who can measure the possibilities of a team or a group of people, men and women, who are unreservedly united in a common cause? Amazing. See, by vision, what do we mean? By vision, we mean a deep, moving, passionate desire to which we're dedicated in heart and soul. Men in the past have had tremendous drive and achieved tremendous things. But what about unity? And I want to say this, dear friends, the next one, please. The principle of united effort. You know, the Bible says that unity has power. How shall one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up? See, power and unity. You know, years ago, Wayne, you'd remember, we built the mezzanine floor at Cornerstone. And we got a bit of move of God, and the kids, the youth would come up there and seated about, I don't know, a couple of hundred up there, maybe out there. And we would jig and dance, and I would have to get up and say, hey, don't do that, don't do that. You know why? You get 150, 200 people in unison popping, it brings some cracks. Did you know, some of you that know anything about war, a marching army can break a roof, break a bridge? There is power in unity. And you know, I believe that, you know, we've got all this potential in our churches. And one of the reasons we're not breaking through, we listen to every little voice of the devil or some person, and we're all over the place. But you give me a group of people that have one vision, have one sound, one mind, and together they unify, and together we're going to take this place for God. Yeah. I remember in our organization, we had a prayer chapel. And you know what Muggins Me did, seemingly? I got all the people around the parameter. It was about 80 people, 80 in the seated back in those days. And I said, I want you to lay hands. So we all formed a circle, lay hands on the wall. And unity, Father bless, Father bless, Father bless. There is power in unity. Power in unity. And I believe, dear friends, we've distorted unity. We don't realize There, God commands a blessing. You give me a group of people. Hey, your pastor's not perfect. The wife's not perfect. They will do and say things that are not perfect. Neither will I. But you give me a group of people that are in there, and we're there come hell or high water, and we're going to take our town. And we, you know, I saw this morning some of you husbands or wife bringing your blooming little kids through that door, and I thought, that's what church is about. It's tomorrow's generation. And those little kids are going to grow up in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord, and they're going to be seeded into the nations of the world. And it all happened in a little 2x4 country area. Come on now. We're made for bigger things. Can anyone say amen? The next one, please. You see, the more united, the greater devastating effect of the kingdom of darkness. You know, the devil, he's not too worried about the church. But when the church unites, when the church wakes up, you know, the Gold Coast, if you go to the Gold Coast, and I got an eye for detail, and you get off at Coolangatta Airport, and you'll see this massive big sign, bigger than Ben Hur, and every time I see it, I groan, and it's got a woman in a bikini, and it's got, you'll see it, Welcome to Sin City. You name it, Erring's there. But if you check this out, there are more churches per capita on the Gold Coast of Australia than any other place. We have one of our teachers at King's, taught for 5 years, is in the 6th year, 5¾, and you know he's got 2,500 people. He gets over 204 connect groups every week. You do the numbers. Takes a miracle off for the second one, over $1 million. And we got churches of 1,000. And, you know, this is Sin City. You know, the devil says it's hard. And we believe it. The devil says you can never get souls saved standing for 1 hour and 5. You know, the Growth Boys would slaughter that. I'll tell that story, don't worry. You're going to pay me 10% for telling it. But the point is this, that's exciting stuff. Am I the only one that's excited here today? You know, the devil whispers in our ear. He nullifies our spirit. When I spit, I don't know why I do, but I do. And I've asked nurses, I don't know. And that's the anointing. And I don't know why I spit. And I was saying in our church once, I said, oh, it's the anointing in a bit of fun. And one of our elders yelled out, he said, spit on me, brother, spit on me. My wife's a lovely woman. You know, she's the antithesis of me. I'm loud, she's quiet. If she wins, she gets some money, I won't know a dime. That's true. If I want something, the whole world will know about it. See, we're different. You know, there's a book called Opposites Attract. I'm going to write a book, Opposites Attack. Oh, Brishene, the Brahmai, Brushine, Brushine. I'm going to have a bit of fun as I close off. That's okay? You know, I was thinking, Wayne, you really only have one service on a Sunday. And a lot of guys are going for 1 hour 15, 1 hour 30 max. And then they don't have a Sunday night service. Well, I tell you what, make the best of it while you're here. Now, I promise you, I'm not going to preach for much longer. Is that okay? Say, you know, last Sunday I preached at the Assembly of God Church, and the pastor said to me, I could have heard, listen to this guy for longer. Why didn't he preach longer? Well, it was one of those hour and a half services. So I was a good boy, but here I'm not a good boy. Here, okay, because I know the guy. All right, let's quickly have it. You see, in Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 8, it says, 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before the sword. Can I say this again? There is unlimited power through unity, not only faith. God wants you to be dedicated in unity. Anyone like to say amen? All right, let me very quickly give you unity's threefold dedication. Number one, the four D's. Number one. All right, I want to give you another one first, the four D's. It's not on my PowerPoint. A definite program, a dedicated unity, a disciplined mind, and a deep desire for unity. You see, the four D's, a definite program, you know, I found this part, people say to me, oh, I've got no money. You have a program, there's money going to come. And the problem with some pastors, they haven't got a vision. You see, what are you going to do beyond this? And as you have a vision, my new guy that's taken over, he's a little over 2 years, and everything's gone up quantum marvelous. He's a younger man in his 40s, but he's a visionary. He's a go-getter. And I love it. I love it. And the point is money's coming out everywhere. You see, people respond to a vision, a common sense vision. Dedicated unity, disciplined mind, and a deep desire. You see, if you're disciplined, you stay the course. You stay the course. You stay the course. It takes you long. We've got our 40th year celebration over this year. It's long. I could tell you when we had no money. I could tell you when we were taken to court and all sorts of rubbishy stuff. But we stayed the course and we won. And today, the Hillsong movement has brought the cameras through twice. And there you're sitting there with thousands and thousands before it starts. And you see the Great Kings organization working with government. Amazing what we did. I'm going to write a book on it one day. Haven't got time at the moment. All right, dedicated teamwork. When we speak of unity, many people think of unity in the passive sense. Unity never gets aggressive. Unity never raises its voice. Unity is really for a bunch of girls. No, no, no. They feel unity is achieved merely by removing friction or disagreements among the people. That's not unity. The Bible kind of unity is more than passive unity. It's aggressive teamwork. It's unity in action. Can anyone say amen? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says, for we know that all things work together for God. For we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Here's the point. In creation, there's no such thing as a vacuum. 24/7, the grandeur of creation is working. The sun, the moon, the stars, the tides, everything is working together. There is unity. What would happen if the sun says, I'm just not going to shine for a month? We'd have death. Or if the flood says, we get adverse. But if the flood says, you know, for the next 40 days, like Noah, I'm just going to flood everything that moves. And we're going to get tsunamis. You know that one in Indonesia out there? 250,000 people lost their lives. And we see a bit now and again, but just imagine chaos. Everything is working together. You give me a family. You give me a marriage. You give me a church. I travel a lot and I see a lot. You know, my wife, and she works a bit, but I'm in a, I can't say too much, but the TV's gammy, and the wife's got money, but she won't do it. It's the husband's job. My mate, my wife will buy brand new recliners and brand new this and brand new that. And if we had the sort of relationship, well, you do it, and you're not, hey, we go nowhere. You see, I've just done my will up. And it's simple. Everything I have, she has, vice versa. And then my account, bank accounts and so on, they all go to her. Come on there. You see, we work together. Can anyone say amen? Oh, Brishetta. It's together, it's together, it's together, it's together. There is power and unity. Can anyone say amen? We were in China smuggling some Bibles years ago, and many years ago, and there's a sameness, all the different colours, same, it's different now. Now, unity is not wearing the same clothes that your pastor wear. Hallelujah. Unity is not having those, you know, have your knees or, you know, sometimes they cut the holes out of these. And I don't know why they do it, but they reckon it's beautiful. And they're more expensive. You see, diversity. How many know in the rainbow? There's diversity. Some are quiet, some are loud, some spit, some don't. We know that all things work together for good. Can anyone say amen? Right, let's have a look at the next one. All right, the unity, threefold dedication. Number one, to the Lord. You see, my relationship with Jesus determines the unity factor. Most of the problems that God in our church, the mumbling and the grumbling and the complaining, you don't have it in country areas. But in the cities you do. It's because something's wrong on the inside of me. And number two, the vision of a definite vision. You see, you give a man a vision. Give a woman a vision. Give a church a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more and more. Whatever you are, wait upon the Lord. And they've got to find out what your need is. There could be kids, girls that are pregnant. You could help them. You see, I believe country areas should be great seed barns. Ministering, needing. You know, the cafes of the world. Did you know this, dear friends, that during the French Revolution, the French closed the cafes because they believed that the people were meeting together in cafes and having coffee, conspiring against the government. And you read it, you can get it off Google. And there was such a hue and cry amongst the French, they forced the hand of the government to open the cafes. And I often say, the cafes are the greatest means of evangelism we've got. And I want to tell you what, in Darfield, you've got the Darfield Bakery. And I repent, I have 3 steak pies already, every day. And before I go, I'm going to go to that place in Darfield that's boasting the biggest ice cream. Amen. Don't be a stodge or stooge. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind. You're lovely people. You really are. This church got marvelous potential. Oh, well, we've heard of it. No, it's got marvelous potential. Be led by the Spirit. Get out. Get out to your rut. And meet people. And if you're so broke you can't afford a cappuccino, steal it off your pastor. He's not very serious there. All right. To everything working together. And finally, the next one, to each member. You talk about my brother, you're talking about me. Don't let people steal... talk about your brother and sister. You talk about the church, you're talking about my church. We own it. We got ownership. This is me. Hey, the best thing, the hottest thing you've got in Leeston is this church. The other churches, let them do what they will, but God's got you in this church. I don't normally do that, but I feel free. I do a little bit. I muck up a little bit. To a member. You see, unity may be prayed for, it may be hoped for, but unity will never be achieved unless it's worked for. And the Bible states the protection that it affords. Proverbs 11:14, where there's no guidance, a people fall, but in abundance of counsels is safety. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but the multitude of counsels is safety. You see, Satan has a subtle tactic to divide and conquer, to divide and conquer, to divide and conquer. Don't underestimate the power of the Satan. He's alive. The unity it releases. Next one, please. So you don't have one, do you? All right. Matthew 18:18. Jesus said, again, I say to you, if two will agree on earth about anything, to get a man and a woman agreeing, it's a miracle. And you'll ask, and it will be done. A symphony of among believers. Acts 1:14, the unity among the book of Acts. You see, it's dripping with unity. It's dripping with the move of God. But listen, unity, 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 unity. Together, gladness of heart. All these with one accord devoted themselves to prayer together with the woman and the Mary and mother of Jesus with his brothers. When the day of Pentecost was fully done, had come, they're together in one place. Acts 2:46, day by day, attending the temple, breaking bread in their homes, and they partook of food and with gladness and generous hearts. There's something happening. There's a unity factor. Acts 4:33, and with great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Sir, madam, there is a price to be paid. I bring this to conclusion. The price to be paid. Unity costs. And it says in Ephesians 4 verse 3, it says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Your responsibility is to maintain unity. You know, years ago, I had a big house and I did a lot of stained timber up high, two-story. I rue the day I did. Every 18 months, I had to do it again, maintain it. And our job is to maintain it. There's a price to be made, and that we're willing to become prisoners. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's what Jesus said. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God. In Philippians chapter 1, you notice I give a lot of scriptures. It says, only let your manner be of life, be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or an absent, I may hear of you, and you could start playing gently, dear. Hear of you, stand firm in one spirit, one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. You see, every believer should stand in one spirit, with one mind. And together we can take it. Getting them behind. I used to say to people when we would take offerings for special things and they haven't got it. I said, if you haven't got it, let the bag go by, but don't moan and grizzle and try and get the givers not to give. Amen. You see, what we try to do is pull people down. Let's lift people up. I want you to stand right now. Can you do that? And I believe this, friend. I know some of you have been in this church for a while. You've heard a lot, but I want to say, and no doubt you've seen some people come and some people go. You can play. But I want to say this. God is about today. He's about today. Anyone like to say amen? Tomorrow at the leadership meeting, I'm going to talk about building. And I'm going to give you a characteristic of what God looks in a leader. And one of them, he looks in the book of Ezekiel at one who builds, one who builds. You're building a marriage. You're building a business. You're building a relationship. You're building the house. And the Spirit of God wants to touch again and again this house. And out of it will flow rivers. Not something that jerks. Out of it will flow. You know, life is never a piece of cake. You get your battles. But how many were born to win? Raise your hands to the Lord right now. And let's believe God for that touch over their lives. Let's believe for something to break through in the Holy Ghost. And I want to pray a prayer as time has gone. I want to pray a prayer to break through, break through, break through. And sir, madam, whatever you are believing to break through, yourself, the secret thought life, physical healing, your children, the lack of finance, a better job, can't have kids, whatever it is, barrenness, just to be more fruitful, to be more attractive for the gospel, I want you to break through. Break through your past, the memory of your past. Raise your hands, will you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every man. I thank you for every woman. Brushi, Brane, Karane. I thank you for these precious people. And Lord, I do pray for breakthrough. Lord, I pray that something significant will happen in their life. I was in France preaching. And I did not on this message, I was speaking on generosity. But I got people to come up quickly who they were going through hell financially, France was. And I believe for breakthrough. You know, I got emails. And the pastor said the very next Sunday was the biggest offering. And he said, people got breakthroughs in their businesses. There is power in declaration. Do you believe that? Raise your hands again. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, let this house know a breakthrough. Let testimonies flow through of people that have broken through. Broken through and have had breakthroughs in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand. God bless you.